This is Mel and Floyd. Keep it tuned here to WRT 89.9 FM Madison.
With information that would never be reported. Disregard the mainstream, media distorted. We come and listen and support it. Ha ha.
Michael, my dear.
Wow! I feel good. I knew that I wouldn't. I feel good. I knew that I wouldn't. So good, so good. I got to you. Wow! I feel nice. A sugar and spice. I feel nice. A sugar and spice. So nice, so nice. I got you.
Well, good afternoon. Welcome to the Mel and Floyd Summer Replacement Show. I'm Mel. Floyd is on assignment, but with us, as always, the man who knows everything, Mr. Smarty Pants.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm going to jump right in there.
You know, after the last 2 weeks, I feel like I'm just going to sit here and do the crossword puzzle and smoke a cigarette.
Yeah.
No, I want to thank, we both do, want to thank all the listeners.
Speak for yourself.
Okay, all right. I'll just speak for myself. People just really coughed up the dough. That was really nice. So thank you so much for the last 2 weeks.
Well, not just for this little show, but for the whole station.
Yeah.
We made our goal and all kinds of great stuff.
What's up?
Oh, I'm just trying to look at a note here.
Yes.
We do have a separate goal for online-only pledge drive that runs through Sunday. We still have thousands of dollars left of the generous matching challenge grant we were given.
Oh, yeah, right.
For new and lapsed donors or lapsed Catholics, too.
We found out a lot of those listeners to this show last week. Everybody wanted a votive candle or indulgences. They were giving confessions to our phone answers.
I was trying to explain to my kid the idea of the candles, and she said, why? Who would want that? And it's like, well, you'd be surprised. And then I said, well, put Clopsy on there. And then she was all in on it.
There you go. Yeah. So. I was thinking about this religious stuff because this weekend, the Madison Symphony is doing the famous Mozart Requiem. It's a very beautiful piece of music, a little somber, right? But nonetheless, beautiful piece of music. And I was thinking one of the parts is the Dies Irae, which is the Day of Wrath. You know, that's the Day of Wrath is when the Lord's coming back and he's taking names, you know, and it's getting it done. And I was thinking, hey, we're living in the days of wrath right now.
It's wrath every day.
It's wrath every day.
Yeah.
We picked evil twice, and God is obviously punishing the nation of America.
Well, the last time he sent a plague down.
Yeah, right? And you'd think we would learn, but no.
I love the Christians. They'll get like a piece of toast, and they'll say, oh, there's John the Baptist.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's like, okay, that's kind of a stretch. But
but
then like we get a literal plague after electing Donald Trump, and they can't connect the dots.
I just think every time there's a giant hurricane in Florida or something, I'm just like, what are you guys not getting? You know, like what are you missing here in your crazy made up version of how things happen? But who knows?
Oh,
by the way, I want to thank also who brought this in? This was
El Serpentine.
El Serpentine, brought it in. It's this is a little. Apparently, he gets little brochures and booklets, and this is a. This is a little brochure from, it's called The Testimony of David Berkowitz. Now, hopefully some of you who are listening are young enough not to know who that is. Two or three of you. But this was a guy who was, he was a notorious murderer known as the Son of Sam, who apparently he was very into Satanism and so on, and he thought his dog was telling him what to do, as I recall. And he was sentenced to life in prison, and in prison he started hearing something else talking to him apparently, and now he's a big evangelist.
So. Yeah, he looked in the mirror and he said, "Oh, it wasn't dog, it was God."
Now I understand.
I had it all wrong.
So I mean,
but God still wants me to kill everybody.
Yeah, so, well, that's always the thing you worry about, isn't it? But, I mean, I'm glad that he's on the straight and narrow now and got that killing thing out. And so that's a very complicated testimonial here. And I was just sad reading about his childhood. His mother died when he was very young, and his father had to work 10 hours a day, 6 days a week, and he was just kind of a mess. So poor little thing. Got to feel bad for people like that. But apparently he's feeling pretty good right now, so I guess it all works.
He's got the Lord in him. So.
Yeah, he's got the Lord in him. He's full up of it. Anyway, so this is called Moments with the Book. This is out of Bedford, PA. So ask for it by name. Thank you so much, Al Serpentine.
Apparently a lot of people around Wisconsin are getting little postcards reminding them to vote on, you know, the
there's an election coming
Supreme
up.
Court election.
Yeah.
And these postcards that are coming from someplace in Connecticut, I think it was.
Oh.
Not
South Africa.
reminding people to vote April 11th.
Oh, yeah.
It's the first, in case you
didn't
know.
Yeah, in case you...
Like, everybody probably does. But so, you know, it's just the usual dirty tricks.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
When you've got unlimited funds to spend, you can throw all that stuff against the wall and see how many votes you can siphon off.
Yep, that's the idea. They're definitely putting a lot of money in there. I swear to goodness, it's kind of bizarre, though, because I've been seeing dueling... So I, like, you go online or something, and I get all these political ads, and I've been seeing like dueling accusations.
Yeah.
You know, who is the one that really let the child molester go? No, you're the one that did. No, you're the one that did.
They're the same ads. I mean,
they're flipped.
They're accusing each other of the same thing.
Right. Well, it's just very typical. Judges, they do plea deals all the time.
Yeah. I mean, that's not. I mean, as much as one candidate I don't like.
Yeah.
Ads against that person saying that he did a plea deal.
Yeah.
That's nothing. I mean, that's
a day's work.
That's normal.
Yeah.
That's how the system works.
That's just Judge 101.
Yeah, I mean, if you don't like the system, I get it. But then you can't, you know, blame somebody. Because, I mean, and a judge doesn't do that on their own. They don't sit there and go, well, I really don't want to put this child molester in prison. Yeah. I'll cook up a deal here. It's like, no, the defense and the prosecution get together and they work out a deal and they present it to the judge and the judge has to okay it. And they probably do, I would guess, 99% of the time.
Yeah. Well, what happened, I mean, I've only been involved in one case of any sort in my life, and connected with my job, and what happened was that the one side saw clearly they were going to lose, and so they said, hey, we're ready to make a deal. And you have to realize all the forces that are behind the scenes. Like, how do you pay for expensive lawyers? Well, you pay for expensive lawyers often if you're a private corporation, for example, if it's a tort that's involved. You pay for it through basically lawyer insurance.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
And if somebody says they're going to settle, you have to settle even if you think you're going to win the case, because the insurance people are like, the odds are we're going to have to keep paying you more. So there's what they call a hammer clause where you have to settle.
Yeah.
I mean, there's all sorts of situations where people make agreements and plea deals and so on based on extraneous stuff that's going on. There's nothing to do with the guilt of the individual involved. So,
yeah.
But anyway.
All these ads are about crime. It's horrible crime. Sexual assault. Murder.
Yeah.
Child molestation.
So. Sure.
And very few of those ever end up at the state Supreme Court.
Yeah. good point. So even if
they're usually looking at, like, you know, whether the railroad has access to your driveway
something. That's an excellent point, Mel, because with both of those candidates, even if either of them was wonky on the thing that they were being called out on, it wouldn't make a difference. They're not going to be resolving any cases of that kind anyway.
I suppose once in a while, once the appeal, you know, they could appeal to that point. But generally, those aren't the kind of cases they're hearing.
And in Wisconsin, we don't have the death penalty, so it's never. I mean, that's often the kinds of things which extensive lawyering will be involved if there's a state with the death penalty, which we, thank goodness, our ancestors here were wise enough not to have. Not so wise on the abortion part, but very wise on the death penalty one, I think. So, and actually, concealed carry, I mean, we had laws against that until very recently in this state. That was how, back in the 1870s, you knew you were living in a civilized society. Hey, you can't carry guns down the main street anymore. So let's puzzle out that logical puzzle. Now we can. So what does that mean about civilization?
I've told this story before on the air, but when I was hiring people, I interviewed this one guy, this candidate. He was really good, and three of us interviewed him, panel like this we do in the government, and we all loved him. We thought, this is a great candidate, one of the best people we've ever had. And at the time, he was working a temp job, issuing concealed carry permits for Department of Justice, Wisconsin Department of Justice.
Wow.
But he was doing a temp job and whatever. Yeah, yeah. And it's like, okay, yeah. But we had to do a background check on him because we had all kinds of financial stuff that we had access to. The HR called me and said, well, you can't hire him. It's like, why? Well, he flunked the background check. and apparently he'd had all kinds of financial fraud in Texas. But apparently that's okay if you're working for the Department of Justice.
Yeah.
But if you're working for like our weird little place, then it's like, no, you can't do that. Well, he just hands out guns.
Yeah, what could go wrong?
The UN,
are those guys still around?
Yeah, they had a vote this week at the General Assembly. They voted on an International Day of Hope.
Oh, good luck on that.
And it was a draft resolution, it recognizes the relevance of hope and well-being as universal goals and aspirations in the lives of human beings, and the importance of the recognition in public policy objectives. So they had a vote on this, the vote was 161 in favor, one against the United States.
Well, technically speaking, all right, yeah, I'll give you my take. Technically speaking, hope is not a goal. Hope is what you do until your goals are realized when you're not sure if they're going to be or not. So looking at it from that point of view, really, so what was their rationale for saying, no, we're against hope?
The United
Now, if you're going to do one for fear, we're all about that.
The delegate to the U.S. said the text contains references to diversity, equity, and inclusion
conflict with U.S. policies that seek to
eliminate all forms of discrimination. The world faces many challenges, funding and effort should be allocated to critical causes and crisis rather than international days.
Well, I get that a little bit, but again, the whole diversity, equity, and inclusion, that's what freaked them out. What, because we bring hopeful for everybody or something? We can't have that. Only the most qualified people get hope in faith.
Now, Nazi Hope Day.
Nazi Hope Day.
We're all behind that one.
Oh, my God. No, no.
Adopt a Nazi.
Adopt a Nazi.
I have a prediction.
I'm going to write it down.
I'm usually pretty good on my predictions.
Yeah, you are. You're excellent. Because you don't make a lot of them.
No, I don't.
They're finely honed.
I have to feel it. You and Son of Sam. My chi there. My dog has to tell me. Clopsy, what's going to happen?
Clopsy, listen. Clopsy is like Odin. Only one eye.
That's what I say. He traded that one eye for wisdom.
So anyway.
So this comes, Clopsy, explain this to me.
Okay. Now,
within maybe about 4 months, it's a little vague here.
Okay, that's fine, four months.
Elon Musk is going to start rocking a Hitler mustache. So, and then when people call him out on it, he'll go, what? What are you talking about? It's Charlie Chaplin. It's Michael Jordan.
Well, I've heard he has only one big ball, so I guess that he's got that going for him.
They had a story that came out that
Donald has two, but they're small.
But Elon's got them both.
Yeah, in a little purse.
A little velvet pouch. Yeah. But there was a story that Musk, uses a lot of artificial insemination to create his 14 kids or whatever he's got.
His flock, yeah.
His flock. Yeah. But there have been times when, his girlfriend or whoever would get pregnant, and then it would turn out it was going to be a girl, and he would force her to get an abortion.
Oh, no, you're kidding.
He just wants boys, apparently.
Oh, my God. That's bizarre. No, there's something seriously wrong with that individual. I did see the interview. He's a little, he's buffering right now, and because I saw him in an interview with Larry Kudlow. Larry Kudlow, not exactly a ball of fire at his age to begin with. And it was, there were these awkward, weird silences. And, you know, he's not as much of a carnival barker as our dear president is.
Yeah.
And he's, you can tell he's a little taken aback by the fact that he's losing money. Of course, I mean, he could keep losing money for the next, you know, 3 months, billion a day, and he'd still would be fine.
Yeah.
But I mean, he you could tell he was a little frazzled by it. And there was this awkward ending of their interview where they're just both sitting there looking at each other, you know. Like, I mean, are they waiting for a tasty fly to come by?
Do we eat the baby now?
Yeah, or? Just expect the tongues to flick out any second. It was very strange.
Well, how about Trump trying to sell us all Teslas? He was like Honest Donald there. Yeah.
I'm sure people that have been paying attention, I don't know if he was doing a New York R replacement, but he called it a Tesla.
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah,
it's a turlet.
The turlet, yeah.
Well, I loved it. They showed a picture that he had this cheat sheet,
yeah.
But it was a price sheet. It was like all the different models the prices were. He was like the rookie salesman they had to throw out on the floor.
I didn't believe him because he wasn't wearing a plaid jacket. Yeah. So that was my problem.
It reminded me of, remember when they would have like late night movies?
Oh, yeah.
And they were always sponsored by some sleazy car dealership in, you know, South St. Paul or something.
Yeah, yeah.
And I remember there was one where the owner would stand there do a little stand up with the microphone.
Sure.
And then they would drive various cars like into the shot, and he would try, we got a 69 Galaxy here with only, you know, 40,000 miles on it. We're giving this one away. And then they'd drive that one away, and then they'd drive up in a Vega or something.
Yeah.
And that's what it reminded me of. He's just standing there. I'm waiting for him to drive up the next one, you know.
What you didn't see in the ad was right after it went off camera, it went
burst into flames.
Yeah, exactly. You know, one thing that
people found historical pictures of Hitler pushing the Volkswagen. It was the same photo. It was like,
so have you seen any of the memes of Shady Vance?
Yeah. No.
Shady JD.
No.
Yeah, he has an unusual, he has a mockable face, okay?
Yeah.
And so.
The big face.
The big heads and the babies with the big heads and so on. Well, there's I found this thing online where they basically have a bunch of those all together, like you see one after another, and then they have some guy imitating his voice, like, "Hey guys, stop doing this," you know? And then he's like, "These are really bad," and stuff like that. And then finally said, "My wife was horrified by this one," and it's an actual picture. And he's like, "Oh, wait, that's actually just me." You know? It's like, yeah. Hey, you know, whenever Trump does these things, this is kind of the bully thing. Whenever Trump does this stuff, he thinks, well, that's that, you know, and now we're done. But in fact, what's happening right now is that people are pushing back. And among our allies, a lot of the leaders that have been standing up to Trump are suddenly extremely popular back home. We all know that, of course, the Prime Minister of Canada and the Prime Minister of the UK are both extremely popular, even though their popularity wasn't doing so well. They're calling it the Trump bump, basically. It's like, if you stand up to the crazy orange clown, you're going to become very popular in your own nation. And right now, the President of Mexico, too, Claudia Sheinbaum, she's won a lot of praise. And her poll numbers just keep going up and up because of the way she's been handling President Trump's threats. And, of course, there's a new chancellor of Germany, a man by the name of Friedrich Merz. And he's also, despite the fact that he's a pretty colorless sort of middle-of-the-road guy, his ability to stand up to Trump has really solidified his standing with a lot of his fellow Germans. So,
oh, interesting.
So you think, okay, well, you know, he's doing this and that's going to learn him. But it doesn't learn him because they push back. Nobody likes being bullied.
Well, sure. One thing I was thinking about, all the tariffs. Now, the president doesn't have unlimited power to issue tariffs.
I mean,
that they can't just do it willy-nilly. And there have to be conditions.
Sure.
And it has to be, like, some sort of emergency.
Yeah.
Has to be, there's some sort of unfairness detected in the
that's why I mentioned foreign trade, the crazy fentanyl justification.
Yeah, yeah,
for
Canada. And there, I mean, there has to be matter of national security. I mean, there's like three different criteria.
Yeah,
and the other day he was talking about Canada, and he said, well, the only way to make the tariffs go away is if you become the 51st state.
Yeah,
and that doesn't fit in with any of those. None of these do, because it's like a lot of these things. These justifications change day to day. It's fentanyl one day, and then the next day it's like, oh, they're not being fair. They're being nasty to us. And then the next day it's, you know, oh, the immigrants are all coming here. And you know, but they don't fit the criteria for the executive to be putting these tariffs on. And this isn't something that goes way, way back. I mean, it was added in like 1974, probably in response to the oil embargo.
Yeah, sure.
But this idea was that it had to be a real emergency for this to happen. And now they're just doing it as a matter of policy, trying to pressure. And, you know, he's saying things like, well, if you drop this, we'll drop that. So it's a bargaining chip. Yeah, it's pressuring. It's trying to take over territory.
Right.
I mean, and Congress should ideally have a spine and stand up and say, no, this is our ballpark here. This is what we do.
Right.
And it's really surprising that there are so many in Congress willing to just cede all that. I think part of it is they know it's a horrible idea.
Yeah.
And they want to, you know, it's like, well, we don't want to vote for this, and we'll see it, and they'll get all the blame for it.
Well, right now the Republicans in Congress are basically like a giant human applause machine.
Yeah, I mean, that's really human centipede. I thought you were going to say.
There's that. You know, I have to say that the rhetoric he has around Canada bears a marked resemblance to the rhetoric that President Putin uses with respect to Ukraine.
Yeah.
This idea, it's not a real culture, it's not separate from us, wouldn't it be lovely if we were all together here, this line is artificial, it's just not a real nation, you know, and it's because of cultural similarities between the two countries that somehow the more aggressive and face it evil of the two nations thinks, well, of course, you guys are just belong to us.
Yeah. Well, last time we tried that, they burned the Capitol down.
They burned our Capitol down because we burnt theirs down, you know. That's why I said they still got, there's some locked safe in the Ministry of Defense, defense scheme number one, where they're ready to repel invasion.
Well, and there was a story this week that the Department of Defense was working on, like, military plans for Panama.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like, where did all this stuff come from? And again, that I know this isn't how it works, but none of these things were mentioned during the election campaign. Nobody voted for any of these things, you know, except for the tariffs, which they made muddy enough that people didn't understand, you know. I mean, we saw a few days after the election, there were spikes on Google for who pays tariffs or what's a tariff.
Yeah. I know. You hate things like
that. No, you should have done that a week ago.
I think the thing is we voted for the golden calf and now we're being punished. So
Yeah,
exactly. So I saw a list of colleges this week that was that the Trump administration sent around, and this was the schools were sent letters by the Office for Civil Rights. And I thought, you know, if I were a young person at this point and I was trying to figure out which college to go to, I think this would be a great way to start.
That's a good list.
All the ones that the Trump administration hates, that would be the very place I would go first. By the way, we were on the list.
University of Wisconsin-Madison
was on the list. Not a surprise. I don't even think the protests here were that intense compared to some other areas, but you know, it's just an intimidation technique. Yeah. So,
well, the EPA announced that they were going to try to bring criminal charges against various environmental groups because they got grants during the Biden administration.
Sure.
And for some reason that's illegal now or something. But among the groups that they were targeting was Habitat for Humanity.
Oh my Lord.
And that money's gone. They've built like 80 houses with that money right now. You know, Jimmy Carter did, but you know.
Yep, and all the is a week before he died too.
Yep.
I did look at, there was a map that was in the New York Times last week, and I was looking at this, and it always makes me think of home because, of course, they did a breakdown of the areas of the country that were most likely to vote for the president. And then they correlated that with the level or percentage of people in that area that rely on Medicaid. And of course, Eastern Kentucky, the rural counties of Eastern Kentucky, and I'm looking at a map right now, where they're 40% of the people rely on Medicaid in these rural counties, and it's one of the biggest percentages by region in the United States. And of course, they're solid Republican.
Yeah. So there's a communication problem there, because a lot of states, well, in Wisconsin, we've got Badger Care,
yeah,
which is funded a lot by Medicaid. I think it's 60% or something,
sure,
like that. But but people don't think, oh, I'm getting Medicaid. They,
yeah,
think, oh, I'm getting Badger Care.
Yeah.
And, you know, in California, they've got, was it called CHIPS or something? And,
yeah,
you know, and I mean, so people don't think, oh, I'm getting Medicaid. I'm getting this from the state. And so there's a disconnect there.
I would be the last person to say the Democrats haven't made a lot of mistakes. But, you know, one thing that you could really do is, could they freaking message these things a little bit better? I mean, it's like people don't know this for a reason, because the way the Republicans are successful in their media war is they have a lot of outlets and they repeat the same 8 things over 100 million times.
Right.
Isn't there anybody that could do that? I mean, if you're serious about something, you need if you've got reasons and facts on your side, that's not enough. You need rhetoric. You need to be able to talk about these things in a way that people understand, and you need to make sure that you're hitting them in a place that makes it sound saleable, something that it looks like, okay, that makes sense to me.
Yeah.
And I just feel like there's nothing like that,
yeah,
I feel.
So, I mean, well, Bernie Sanders is going around.
Bernie is doing a great job.
He was in Racine, yep, and Altoona, and yep, you know, other states, obviously. But he was drawing big crowds
again. And he says the same 8 things over and over. But that's great. That's what he should be doing.
Yeah.
I mean, if you watch him, because I've been watching his different rallies, he's saying the same thing, same jokes. I mean, it's like, you know, same comparisons, everything. But that's great. Do that thing.
Yeah, I think Pete Buttigieg is doing that too, or
yeah,
planning on doing it. But
yeah,
and he's another one who's really good at communicating.
Yes.
And, you know, AOC, of course, is
yep,
great at, you know, cutting through that BS and saying this is what's really going on.
I heard some rumbles that she might try to challenge Chuck Schumer.
Good. Well, and one thing I learned back in the dark days when I worked in advertising is,
yeah,
you don't give, people don't need a laundry list of reasons for something, you know,
yeah,
you don't, you know, and it took a long time to learn this, because if you look at old TV commercials, they do give you a laundry list,
right,
of why this toothpaste is better.
Yeah.
And you know, you don't need 20 reasons why toothpaste is better.
Right.
You need one reason that kind of has this little hook that sticks,
right,
in your brain. It's like, oh, it'll make my teeth whiter. Oh,
yeah,
it'll make my breath smell better.
Yeah.
You know, oh, it'll, you know, make me popular with
right,
the opposite sex, or
right,
the same sex, or whatever you want your teeth to do.
I just want my teeth to eat food.
However your teeth are oriented.
Yeah, my teeth do not have a sexual orientation.
but again, you look at the right wing, and they do that. They say immigrants bad, criminals, rapists.
Yeah. You know about this stuff because you were right in the middle of it. I mean, you look at the history of advertising. Like, look at an advertisement from a magazine like Life magazine in the 1940s. It's like a freaking...
It's 800 words long.
Yeah, it's like a freaking dissertation. You know, like, this is why you want the, you know, the Brewmaster 5000 or whatever. And then you reach the absolute quintessence of advertising sometime in the 80s, where they just had the close-up of Marilyn Monroe and the little Mercedes-Benz symbol where her mole was. I mean, that's the only thing you need. That's it. We're done. So that's, I mean, that's like 40 years old, that the way you get people to understand things.
Yeah, yeah.
One
brain cell.
Yeah, one brain cell. And the poor Democrats are still trying to figure that out.
They're still writing the 1,000-word dissertation.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, actually, a study in Cambridge shows
yeah,
that.
I know. What the hell? You know, if you will.
And part of it is that's how we react, like people like
yeah,
you and I.
Yeah,
or,
yeah.
You know, we look at these things and go, oh, well, what are the facts? What's
yeah,
the information? You know,
yeah,
not, you know, and then other people will watch a commercial with, you know, showing the scary brown people and
yeah,
freak
yeah,
out and go, oh, I can't vote for that. You know?
I think the only thing in the last campaign that I really thought was clever was that whole J.D. Vance couch thing. And I know that was not nice. I mean, it was like, you know, making up
yeah,
stories about
it. It wasn't true.
But But golly gosh, I mean, that was a pretty innocuous compared to what they were saying on the other side. I mean, yeah, make up some, like, he's got some aberrant sexual habit or something. Why not? I mean, come on.
Well, Tim Walz, the Minnesota governor, he's another one who's, I think he's going to, I don't know if he's done it yet, he's going to start going to Republican districts and holding town halls because the Republicans are afraid to do it now because people yell at them and they're mean to them.
Yeah.
And because they're like trying to, they want them to die.
Yeah. We gave you the pitchforks, but we meant you to use them against those guys.
but I mean, Walz was great. I mean, he was calling them, you know, weirdos and that was really resonating. Yeah. And then the DNC got involved. And they said, well, that's a little nasty. We need to, you know, be a little bit more middle of the road. Yeah. Maybe get some of these, you know, these kind of moderate Republicans to vote for us. So let's quit doing that.
Yeah.
And he actually acknowledged that. He was talking, I know he was doing a bunch of interviews recently, and he mentioned that, you know, well, we kind of played it a little safe in that campaign.
Yeah.
I wish we hadn't done that. So.
Yeah. By the way, just to let you know, there's for nearly a month now, Australian forces have been watching a flotilla of Chinese Navy ships making voyages around their country.
Mm.
The ships have been sailing in and out of Australia's exclusive economic zone. It's a little area around each country. They fired 5 shots near commercial airspace, which has forced dozens of civilian flights to reroute. They sailed past Perth, which is in Western Australia, days after a visiting United States nuclear submarine was docked there. And Australian officials are saying, oh, the Chinese, it's okay, there's no issue, but they're definitely sending us a message.
They were doing some maneuvers with these really odd ships. I saw some video of it. They essentially have like temporary bridges on the front.
Right.
So like when they land, they can just kind of plop down and they've got a bridge all of a sudden.
Sure.
So,
yeah.
You know, yeah. So, that would come in handy.
I can't imagine how that would be handy, but maybe it is.
Well, if you're like going to invade Taiwan or something.
Someplace. Yeah. I mean, the thing is that this guy, Donald J. Trump, traitor and oath breaker. I mean, he's making the world safe for that. They think he's a weak person they can just buy off, and they're right.
Yeah.
So
the I don't think we talked about this last week. The Prime Video, Prime TV, and they all of a sudden have started making the 6 years of The Apprentice available.
The
Donald Trump's TV show.
Lord. Yeah, I've forgotten that.
and they're really pushing it. Like, if you open the screen up, it's like screaming at you, hey, The Apprentice, blah, blah, blah. And I thought, well, that's just Bezos, like, kissing his butt, trying to
get some money.
But exactly.
Money in the president's pocket.
But then it's money in the president's pocket because of, like, streaming rights or royalties or whatever you call it.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, it's just a bribe. I mean, it's like, here's a bribe for you.
I long for the days when LBJ used to pass out money on the Senate floor. You know, that seems less egregious somehow than this.
I remember when what was his name? John Boehner.
Yeah.
He was best friends with the tobacco lobbyists, and they would like actually give him checks.
Smooth.
Yeah, I know he didn't look like he used the products, but he would go around like on the floor of Congress and hand out the checks to people from the lobbyists.
And you get one, and you get one.
Oh, you are a bad boy. You don't get one. So. Yeah. All right, we have to take a break, play some announcements here, and we'll be back in about, I don't know, a minute or two.
So you can find something a little pleasant to
talk about. Yeah, we'll get off of this this stuff here.
But, we all know what you think about it, but we just have to vent.
It's part of our therapy.
It's cheaper than therapy.
So, all right, stick around. We'll be right back.
Support for this program comes from WORT's listener sponsors and Isthmus Newspaper. Isthmus is back on newsstands the first Thursday of every month, and now a nonprofit. Isthmus continues to expand its independent coverage of local government, the arts, and all things Madison at isthmus.com.
WORT thanks its listener sponsors and the Wine and Hop Shop located at 1919 Monroe Street, specializing in home brewing and winemaking supplies for over 40 years. Open to in-person shopping or order online for curbside pickup, in-Madison delivery and shipping of supplies at wineandhop.com.
WORT thanks its listener sponsors and TNW Ensemble Theater, presenting Scammed, a new comedy running March 13th through March 23rd at TNW Ensemble Theater, 1957 Winnebago Street. When a freelancing editor falls for a classic scam, she assumes the amoral alter ego of Helen Wheels to get even. Tickets are available at the door with cash or check, or online through Ticket Tailor. More information is available by calling 608-770-0826.
WORT would like to thank the following local restaurants and businesses who provided meals for our hardworking volunteers during our recent fall pledge drive. Bandung, Bonzo, Cardinal Bar, Cooper's Tavern, Einstein's Coffee and Bagels, Epic Mortgage Lending, Festival Foods, Glass Nickel Pizza West, Hong Kong Cafe, Ian's Pizza, Just Veggies, Lao Lang Zan, Mickey's Tavern, Melio's on MLK, Original Pancake House on University Avenue, Pizza Bruta, Soups I Did It Again in Spring Green, Teddy Wedgers, Weary Traveler, Wilma's Fund LGBT Assistance, and the Willie Street Co-op. WORT would like to extend our gratitude to these restaurants for helping put the community in WORT Community Radio through their donations of food. Gratefully yours for nearly five decades, this is WORT 89.9 FM, Madison.
And we're back. Before we get too far afield, I want to bring this up. It's the Tesla tax bill.
Ah.
The Tesla tax bill for the last few years here. So 2024, the most recent year, their U.S. income was $2.3 billion, and their federal income tax was zero.
Oh, my Lord.
2023, income, U.S. income, $3.1 billion. They had to pay $48 million on that. That's the tax rate of 1.5%. And in 2022, they had U.S. income of $5.5 billion, and their income tax was zero that year.
Mm.
So their tax...
So they're really being robbed by this terrible, terrible system we have.
So those 3 years, their tax federal tax rate was zero, 1.5%, and zero. It averages out in those 3 years to 0.4%.
Wow, that's amazing. I have a colleague at work who drives a Tesla, and I keep having to restrain myself from saying something.
Not a Cybertruck, though.
No, heavens no. Yeah. Those things are just, that is a purposeful assault on the aesthetic sensibilities of humanity. That's how you know that man is evil. He's like, look at that thing, you know?
Remember those old, like, shiny metal trash cans that kind of had a swinging door at the top?
Oh, yeah.
That's exactly what they look like. okay, one more car-related thing, and this is Dodge Chargers. It's kind of like a muscle car.
Okay.
They now have pop-up ads at every stoplight on their screen. Whenever you stop, an ad pops up trying to sell you the extended warranty.
Oh, my God.
This was happening with Jeeps.
If I had a car that had a screen that do that, I would pull an Elvis on it. You know,
definitely.
Shoot that baby.
Can you imagine how annoying that is?
Oh my God.
Hi, got the extended warranty yet? Okay, we'll talk to you in 30 seconds when you hit the next red light.
I think I told you I rented a car recently that was so intrusive. It was like telling me, I think it's time for you to stop and rest and things like that. I mean, I was just like, and I thought, I got so angry at the car that I was talking to it, of course.
Yeah.
And I thought, okay, I've got to form a relationship with this car.
Sure.
You know, I
got
to, because it's just trying to look out for me. I know it's nagging the heck out of me.
Yeah.
But I just got to like, I was just like, oh man, it's just.
Yeah.
It's
I used to have one of those in my car.
Yeah. It costs a lot to get rid of them, too, I hear. It's not exactly cheap. Hey, here's a positive story.
Yes.
tea. This is a story about tea. This is a,
the, like
this
the,
is
the beverage?
The tea, the kind of beverage, yeah. This is the kind of story that you're not going to be seeing the next few years because it involves fats. It turns out that tea leaves pull heavy metals from water, which significantly lowers the amount of lead and other compounds that people may be unknowingly drinking. This is from a study, this new study that just recently came out from Northwestern University. And recent research has highlighted potential applications for used tea leaves. But this new study shows that public health benefit from something that countless people are already doing. So about 5 billion cups of tea are consumed each day around the world, according to one estimate. And so it turns out that, of course, as we know, that water used to steep tea is contaminated with lead in many parts of the world and indeed here in the United States. In the U.S., about 9 million homes get their water through pipes that contain lead, and lead is especially dangerous to children. But it turns out that every different kind of tea, black tea, white tea, oolong, green, whatever you got, herbal, loose leaf, plain old Lipton, they all had the same effect of leaching the lead out of the water. The tea was then allowed to steep for variable periods of time, and afterwards the scientists measured how much lead remained in the water. So that's kind of cool. So take your old tea bags and you can just pop them right in there, and apparently your water is going to have less lead in it than it had before. That's amazing.
Is that a good thing?
That is a good thing. Well, you're not drinking the tea. You're using the used tea bags to pull the thing out, and then you throw the tea bag away.
Okay.
Here's a story about avocados, something we're probably not going to be seeing many of in the near future. But this was an interesting story. It was in the Proceedings of the National Academy of Sciences. And they found out that, avocados are, the two things that I love more than anything in the world to eat are avocados and broccoli. Just love those. And I love the avocados because they're good for you, but they seem somehow sinful.
They seem indulgent
for a vegetable.
Like buttery. Or
yeah, they're buttery, and they got all these vitamins in there, and they have plant fat in them, which makes them very yummy. But it turns out it took a very long time to make them this way. Like a lot of things that are products of agriculture, they didn't start out like that. People in what is now Honduras apparently started making avocados part of their diet 10,000 years ago. And then about 7,500 years ago, they started managing the wild trees and selecting fruits with thicker rinds and larger fruits and so on like that. So basically, they were involved in domestication back 7,500 years ago. Avocados first rose in central Mexico about 400,000 years ago, and they originally were dispersed by megafauna, giant sloths and
woolly mammoths.
Well, there were no woolly mammoths that far south, there were some things called gomphothores, which were these big sort of elephant-ish things. So they would eat them and then excrete the seeds out. You need a megafauna actually to excrete that seed out.
Yeah, that would be
But humans started realizing, humans stepped in and they made the modern avocado. What you got there?
Just a note from our news director. And we'd mentioned this earlier, but we have thousands of dollars in matching grants from the drive that were not matched, so we won't receive them. However, the grantor has agreed to extend the match to any donors, not just new or lapsed donors.
Oh, wow.
So if you donate between now and midnight on Sunday, WRT will receive double the donation. So please consider an online donation before Sunday at midnight at WRTFM.org.
Wow. Okay. So starting now and until the end of the weekend, until midnight on Sunday.
Yeah, midnight on Sunday.
So just clickety click.
Click on the donate button and double your money.
So it's WRTFM.org.
Yep.
And then you just go there and there's a button where you can pledge.
Got it. Several alert listeners sent in this story. There was an American influencer, among our favorite people, the influencers. And she filmed herself grabbing a young baby wombat, a joey.
Oh, no. We love wombats.
I know. Grabbing a joey from its mother, setting off a global conversation about... Oh, yeah.
Off of their head.
about mistreatment of wildlife.
Oh, no.
Unlike kangaroos and koalas, most wombats actually do spend much of their time down under in burrows that sometimes include up to 10 entrances, and they do a lot of digging. But you should not grab... grab the babies. And I remember I saw this video, and I was watching it with Melvina, and we were both just screaming at the computer.
How tremendously disrespectful.
Yeah, and then she finally let it go, and you know, thought it was really cute and giggled about it.
It's not cute for you. It's not cute for you.
Yeah, there was a lot of outrage there.
Oh, man.
Leave the wombats alone.
Come on. You know, anything that frustrates the natural, you know, sort of goals of an animal is a form of harm.
Yeah.
I mean, it really is.
Well, think if a baby's sitting there with one of its parents and a gorilla came by and grabbed it. Would you think that was cool?
I mean, no, of course not.
No.
Yeah. And wombats, of all things, wombats.
They are adorable, though, you know, so. Not that I'm making excuses, but
well, as my late grandfather used to say, look with your eyes and not with your fingers.
Yeah, very good.
And not with your eyes too long.
Yeah. Well, you were telling me about some people in, was it Hawaii, where they had to put fences up?
Yes. Our friends Sue and Charlie there in Hawaii are involved in seal rescue. There's a kind of seal that lives in the area around the island they live on, Kauai, that is not able to sleep in the water. There's a lot of marine animals that are able to sort of be half awake and half asleep and get the benefits of sleep. And this is not one that's evolved that ability, so they have to come up on the beach. And the humans just come and, like, bedevil them. And the poor things, like, they can't sleep. So the volunteers, when a seal beaches itself to take a nap, volunteers alert other volunteers on the island, you know, if they can't go do it themselves. And then they put, like, they stake out a little perimeter so the humans won't get in there. But of course, then they do anyway.
Sure.
Their little primate fingers have to get all over everything.
Do not enter sign.
Yeah.
They don't mean me.
Yeah, no. Yeah. And some of the experiences, I remember talking to Charlie about, because I went out with him a couple times because it's super early in the morning when they do this, you know, when they go out. And somebody just walked over there's a rope, and you have to, like, walk over the rope. And Charlie's saying to this guy, didn't you see the rope? I'm like, no, I didn't see that. And like, oh. At one point, I said to him, you know, you can love the seals without hating the humans. He said, I can do both at once.
So, well, but luckily there was enough outrage there that this person got chastised. But
everything is not everything is not a thing for your use. It really isn't. Some things just need to be themselves, you know. So.
Well, this time of year, there's a lot of wildlife out there. There's a lot of baby wildlife, or there will be.
Yeah.
And so just don't mess with it.
Hands
so,
off.
Yeah.
Hey, I got a few, this is kind of morbid, but I just want to celebrate the life of a few interesting people. People are interesting to me. One person who just recently passed away was Lynn Marie Stewart. And you might say, who in the world was Lynn Marie Stewart? She was a groundling who got a job, came to national prominence as Miss Yvonne. Do you remember Miss Yvonne?
Oh, yeah.
Yvonne on Pee-wee's Playhouse. She was the most beautiful woman in all of Puppet Land. And I thought for years she was a drag queen, but apparently she was not a drag queen. She was a Lynn Marie Stewart. And then later on, she got a second claim to fame, as she was Charlie Day's mom in It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia.
Yeah, no, she was wonderful.
She was wonderful. And then someone a little less well known, but someone that I know about and was really would encourage people to look up some of his work. One of the most prominent historians of religion in the United States passed away last week. A man by the name of Martin Marty, easily named to remember, old Marty Marty. He was 97 when he died, and he spent a lot of his time looking at the history of religion and urging harmony among people with different religious beliefs. And he wrote a wonderful book that's still often used for people who do the study of religion, called The One and the Many, America's Struggle for the Common Good. And we need more people like that.
Aww.
Finally, just want to mention that George Lowe died. George Lowe, 67. He was the guy that voiced Space Ghost.
Oh, yeah.
On the
yeah.
Space Ghost Coast
oh,
to Coast show
voice.
Back in the 1990s and into the early 2000s. And Space Ghost was a character. It was a cartoon character on television in the 1960s. It was like a superhero alien. And they revived it in the 1990s on the Cartoon Network. As he was a talk show host and had different, very odd guests on there. He also voiced other characters in Robot Chicken, The Brack Show, which was a spinoff, C-Lab 2021, Aqua Teen Hunger Force, and Squidbillies.
Oh.
So I see things, I see people like that, and I think, that could have been my life.
Very easily.
Yeah, voiceovers.
I'm on Squidbillies.
Squidbillies, so, cartoon shows.
Yeah, so not to make this the obit hour, but we didn't get a chance to talk about the passing of one of my favorites, David Johansen.
Oh, yeah.
The lead guy for the New York Dolls.
Sure.
Recreated himself as Buster Poindexter.
Yep.
Had some really nice solo albums too. I didn't plan on talking about this, so I didn't bring up any music. But I love the New York Dolls. Buster Poindexter. Remember the first time I saw him? It was like on Saturday Night Live or something. I had no idea who he was or what was going on. It's like, this is great. What is this? And then I realized it was David Johansen.
I'm glad you said it that way, because that's my clue that something is good. Not it's the same wank I've heard 100 million times since the day one, but what the hell is this? that is the sign of quality there. What the hell is this?
And I like it.
yeah, exactly. So, people said that about Beethoven. People booed him when he first started doing his work.
You know? I saw the New York Dolls. They got booed.
Yeah, exactly.
I've told this before too, but it was probably like 1974 or something. Yeah. They were playing a tent at the Minnesota State Fair, and it costs $1 to get in, and so it's full of like these, you know, Norwegian farm boys who are sitting there drinking their Pabst and their Grain Belt, and then these guys come out in heavy makeup and dresses and start flitting around, and the farm boys did not take to that. And so they started throwing like full cans of beer at the stage and booing. It was quite the sight, so it was fun.
But to be fair, you know, you could rent a place for a month with $1 back in those days.
But I loved them. It's like, this is great. I love this stuff. What is it?
Freaky. Okay, so most people really don't like spiders. And most people really don't like zombies, even though, of course, zombies aren't real. But it turns out that there's a new kind of creature out there, which is zombie spider.
Of course there is.
You know there's bound to be double your fear level. A zombie spider is a spider. This is recently published, by the way, in the journal called Fungal Systematics and Evolution.
Oh, yeah.
We all read that. Yeah. Who doesn't? You know?
I just listen to the podcast.
But there's this fungus called the lacy white fungus, and it attacks spiders, and so it's kind of like that zombie ant fungus you've heard about.
Yeah.
It's basically the same kind of thing. So they were doing some BBC filmmakers were doing some work, and they found this spider, and it was doing all sorts of really unusual things, and they were kind of like, what's with that? And it turns out that there's a fungus that is found in Irish caves that affects because that's where they were near Belfast, that affects spiders in this
very little St. Patrick's Day story.
Exactly. So there's the author of a paper on this, Joao Araújo, I don't know if I'm pronouncing that right. Sorry, it's Portuguese. I'm not exactly sure how it's pronounced. But he's an author of a paper on this and director of mycology at the Denmark Natural History Museum. Said that he believed that the spores land on the spiders and then the fungus sprouts in a structure called a germ tube that goes right into the arachnid's exoskeleton. So it basically takes over the whole body of the spider.
Yeah. I think
isn't nature lovely?
I think the fungi are the ones that are going to eventually get us.
That makes sense.
You know, we'll heat the planet up enough so they'll think, oh, this is nice.
They like it when it's certain temperatures. They like certain temperature ranges.
So that's kind of the thing in sci-fi now. They'll have the fungus instead of, like, you know, aliens or...
Yeah, the microscopic and other like
bacteria
things are—I mean, they're all doing—they're still doing fine. I mean, in the end, you're probably thinking we're kind of like a phase, you know? I mean, it's just like the Earth thought they'd make big things that talk, and then they're like, well, back to the basics, you know?
Feed them to the bacteria.
Right, exactly.
Marriage triples risk of obesity in men, but not women, according to a new study.
Because so, men's testosterone level goes down. No, I'm serious, it does.
Men just let themselves
when they know. Couple, yeah. When they're in the when they're in the mode looking, they're like rapacious beasts.
Yeah.
But once they're finally, you know, secured, then they just kind of they just kind of sit in that little stall and just keep getting bigger and bigger. So the way it works. Before they know it, they suddenly think this family sized van looks really good and so, but at least they're not terrorists at that point. So that's nice.
Yeah, you know, that's good. That's, yeah. So
that's how we get to
slows them
do it.
Down.
Slows them down a little bit. Yep.
But well, that's what I tell people. You know, I put a lot of work into my relationship, but I don't want to blow it because I really worked hard to get to this place where I could let myself go.
Young people, this is advice to you. You know, if you stick with your partner, there will be a point where you don't have to look for people anymore. It's really, you know, like right now that seems like you'll be able to do that forever. But there will be reach a point where you'll be like, oh, okay, well, I remember what you used to look like.
So that's close good enough. Where's my sweatpants? Where's my good sweatpants?
My good sweatpants. company sweatpants when company comes over.
That's when you know you've given up. It's like you've got a good pair of sweatpants.
Yeah, exactly.
And you save them for special occasions.
Yep.
So. Tech execs are pushing Trump to build freedom cities run by corporations.
Oh, my Lord. What in the heck?
It's a pro-corporate libertarian movement attempting to take over the U.S. with Trump's help.
Oh, Lord. You know,
so they'd have these cities that were run by corporations or, like, companies. So the company would own, it'd be like a town with a company running it. So you need a name for it, like a town company or something like that.
I said this last week. I mean, if there's an afterlife, Karl Marx is just sitting there laughing his spectral butt off. I told you guys. I told you. Didn't listen to a word I said. Now you see, don't you?
Well, here's some good news. Antarctica's ozone hole is shrinking, and it's on track to vanish completely.
Wow.
A new study confirms with 95% certainty that the Antarctic ozone hole is healing and could completely disappear.
Don't let the dear leader find out
in
about
10
it.
Years. It's a major victory for global environmental action. It just shows you can get stuff done when you want to.
If Donald finds out, he will take a boat down there with his own supply of hairspray just to make sure that he can open that
It'll
baby
just be a big,
back up
big
again.
Big SpaceX thing full of white rain or something.
Wow, white rain.
Dippity-doo.
There's a callback. Hey, how can you cut down on plastic in your bathroom, single-use plastic? For those of you who shave your legs or your faces, you might want to get a Buy It For Life razor.
Mm.
You know, a lot of people get the disposable razors, but there's a lot of good razors out there that are not disposable. And you might also want to get a loofah or some other kind of body scrubber that's just not the same old thing. And you can keep those for months before you need to replace them.
Bill O'Reilly's got a lot of those. So.
Loofahs?
No, never mind.
dental floss. There are companies where you can get dental floss, and it doesn't come in those little plastic containers. There's even, interestingly enough, there's even vegan options. Of course, given our listeners, some people probably know this already. I mean, Silk is pretty good. It's compostable, but it's not vegan. And you might say, well, what's some vegan floss? Made out of bamboo fiber and charcoal. Finally, when you get soap or shampoo, don't get it in a plastic container. You can get a liquid soap and so on. You can get refillables. And there's several places here in town where you can actually go and get your soap and shampoo refilled. They're at the
very
place.
Nice.
So check it out.
Cool. The Agriculture Secretary, Brooke Rollins, said she expects egg prices to keep spiking because it's Easter season.
Yeah, well, she's probably right.
Can we dye eggs this year, Mom? No, they're too expensive. Dye some rocks or something.
That's not a bad idea.
Yeah.
Some rocks.
my kid came home from the grocery store the other day, and she had this tiny little carton of eggs. I think it held like six of them. So it was like they'd taken a regular egg carton and cut it in half.
Oh, yeah.
And so you could afford to buy eggs. And
all the eggs I'm getting right now come from Amish farms. I don't know.
Oh, really?
Apparently. I mean, maybe it's because they don't engage in high-level industrial agriculture.
Yeah, probably. Yeah. So, all right, we got to declare the weekend. It's gorgeous out there today. I haven't stuck my head out in the last hour and a half, but coming down here, it was beautiful. So get out, enjoy it, have a good time, and
do
enjoy your weekend. Pants, was great to see you.
You too, buddy.
Thanks for listening, everybody. Stick around. The Kiosk is next. After that, Who Cooks for You with the Real Jaguar. Then Amy Goodman, Democracy Now!, Labor Radio, Blues, Friday on My Mind. All kinds of great stuff here on your favorite radio station. And you are listening to WRT 89.9 FM, Madison. Have a great week, everybody. Bye-bye.
This is the Insurgent Radio Kiosk for Friday, March 14th.
Last week, the Democratic Party's top congressional leaders finally took a bold stand against Trump's assault on our democracy when he came to Congress to tout his autocratic agenda. Traditionally, when a president arrives to address Congress, a bipartisan escort committee leads the dignitary to the podium. But by gollies, Democratic leaders Chuck Schumer and Hakeem Jeffries showed their toughness by, get this, refusing to have Democrats join the escort committee. Wow, imagine how that uplifted the millions of people being stomped on by Trump's rampage. Is this feeble response better than nothing? Believe it or not, doing nothing is another strategy proposed by former Bill Clinton operative James Carville. He says the smart thing for Democrats to do is to roll over and play dead. Carville actually declares that fighting Trump is futile, so just allow the Republicans to crumble beneath their own weight and make the American people miss us. Excuse